you will, get your Bibles out, and I will open this up in prayer and get into the Word. Let's go ahead and open in prayer. Father God, we thank you for just this time to be together. We thank you for your Word. We thank you how you desire, Lord, to teach us from your Word. And we pray that we would be receptive, that we would just be energized, that we would be motivated, Lord God, to obey it. We taste sweet, Lord God, as we just partake together. It's like we had a wonderful dinner, and now we're going to have our spiritual dinner, Lord. So go before us. Just anoint the words, less of me, more of you, that your word would be clear, crystal clear, Lord, to the point, piercing the heart, and changing lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Okay, if you would, just real quick, go ahead and turn to Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians. I'm sure many of you do too. Ephesians chapter 3. What I thought was pretty cool is we have been gathering together around the Word. People are even some of the workshops that I went into, we're all kind of using the same scriptures, not knowing that, but just I think it's just how kind of the Word's been flowing things together to try to unify everything with the Word. So we're going to start with Ephesians 3:20, and we can read that together. Now to him, let's read it all together. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. So there is a power that is working within us. And sometimes we think, well, what is that power? And I think a better question would be to ask, who is that power? Who is the power that's working within us? So I want you guys to answer. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit started his work before the foundations because he's a part of the Trinity. Right? So the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. The third person of the Trinity. So you have the Father, you have the Son, you have the Holy Spirit. Before creation, all dwelling together, however that works, it's beyond my imagination. I can't get there. But I read the Word, and I know that the Word's true, and I can cling on to it, so I know that that's how it happened. And then what happened is the Word came out, we've got the Old Testament, we've got the Holy Spirit in His power resting on different individuals, resting on kings, on judges, on leaders, on prophets, different people that He rested on in the Old Testament. And even in the Old Testament, there's some places where it says that the Lord, that different people were talking to the Lord. And they say that that could be actually Jesus Christ coming down and making a visitation and visiting these people who were having these conversations with. So there's a power that started way back, and it's still moving forward in this day and age. So people that were saved in the Old Testament, how were they saved? Were they saved with the understanding of Jesus? How were they saved? I have a lot of Bible college students here, so you guys don't pretend like you don't know these questions, okay? Okay. By faith. What did they believe in? In the Old Testament, what were they believing in? They believed in God. Okay, and so when they died, where did they go? Abraham's bosom. Okay, that's kind of just a hard thing to kind of understand, right? So they weren't in hell, and they weren't in heaven. They were in a place called Abraham's bosom. Okay, so then we come into the New Testament. Okay, and we have the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, powerful, allowing Mary to get pregnant, overshadowed, said the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. How old was she? 13, 14, 15, 16, teenager. Overshadowed her, and she becomes pregnant. She has Jesus. Jesus lives his life, 33 years. Time for him to go out into the ministry. And he begins to draw disciples. People start following him. And we see his work through the New Testament. But did they have, when this was actually happening, did they have the New Testament?
No.
They didn't have it. It hadn't been written yet, right? Old Testament, and then you have Jesus appearing on the scene, and that's kind of where we're gonna start our story. So we know that in the Old Testament, God rested upon him. Jesus is born, and Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit, because who is the Holy Spirit? So Jesus is the God-man. He's the Son. But he's God, because in the book of John, he calls himself the Father and I are one. Okay? In the beginning, it said, let us create man in our own image. So you've got the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit there. So now you've got it happening. You have it happening. People are looking, and they're seeing Jesus, and they don't have the revelation that we have, because we've got the Scripture. So all they have are the books of prophecy. And those different prophets, the different things that were going on, didn't have any opportunity to study the Scripture, because that was left up to the men. And the men gave that to the boys, and so there's a lot of women who didn't know anything. I mean, yeah, they got a little bit of training, and I bet you some mothers, those homeschool mothers way back then, some were better than others, and they were teaching how to clean and cook, and the ones that were interested, the women, the girls that were interested about the things of the Lord, maybe they would sneak around and they'd listen to their dads talking, or you know, what was going on with the sons or the teaching and those kinds of things, and they wanted that, and maybe if their moms were spiritual, they'd tell them what they could, what they knew. But it wasn't like they had this Bible, this love letter for God to speak directly to them like they have. And I think sometimes we forget that. We think that everybody has a Bible. Everybody has. But there's still people on this earth that have never seen it or read it. And how blessed are we to have our Bibles, and yet, what happens? We don't read it. Or we leave them. Or we forget them. Or we do this, that, and the other thing with them. So I know that everyone has a Bible here, which is so exciting. I know you guys have it turned. We have it opened up. We're in that same scripture. So let's read it again. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able, let's do it together, to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. So God is able to do this great work because of the Holy Spirit. And what Jesus did when he died and was resurrected, he opened up the scriptures to those people at that time. Now, we see it in a much different way, but I want us to go back to the road to Emmaus, which is found in the book of Luke, and we're going to read that together, and we're just going to kind of ponder some things about what was going on at the time Jesus died, he was buried, third day he resurrected, and then he started appearing to all kinds of different people. And we're going to look at Luke 24, so let's turn there together. We're going to start at verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were conversing with each other about all things which had taken place. And it came about that while they were conversing and discussing, Jesus himself approached, and he began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word and in the sight of God and in all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to the same sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us, amazed us, when they were at the tomb early in the morning, they did not find his body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it exactly as the woman had also said, and they did not see, and him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, now listen to this, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. So this is actually the first recorded Bible study after the resurrection. By Jesus himself, taking two of these men that had walked with him, or one that were obviously his disciples, we don't know which ones, Cleopas, but he wasn't one of the 12, but I mean, they were men that were following him, and this is what he did. He came to them, and he revealed, he explained to them all the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. So at this time, what were all the scriptures?
Old Testament.
The Old Testament. So the five books, the books of the Torah, the first five that Moses wrote, maybe some of the other ones, but those are mostly the first five are the ones that the Jews still hang on to today, right? So those are the first five. And so what he did is he was able to do a Bible study as they walked on the road to this little village called Emmaus, and he started to explain. It was like a puzzle. He put all the pieces together. Even though they had probably been with him for a year or two or three as he's been in his ministry, what's hard for us to understand is that sometimes when you read the Bible, it's like, don't they get it? Don't they understand what he was saying? But you know, their minds had not been opened up to it yet. It was like they were kind of in a fog. And so this is the first time since Jesus has been resurrected that he's actually able to come out clearly and put all the pieces together. Before, he was kind of just like a foreshadowing. And he would say things and they wouldn't understand it. You know, I want to be great in your kingdom, you know. He would say these parables, and they didn't quite get it. I mean, they would understand parts of it, sometimes he would even explain it to them, and they still didn't get it. So here's the first Bible study. Let's go on. Keep reading. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he would go farther. And they urged him, saying, "Stay with us. It's getting toward evening, and the day is nearly over." And he went in to stay with them. And it came about that when he had reclined the table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he began giving it to them. What does that sound like?
Communion.
Almost like communion, huh? And this is the key verse. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And as soon as they recognized him, what happened? He vanished from their sight. Can you imagine? So here you're walking, you know, you're dusty, it's on the road, you're walking. I guess, I mean, who knows how wide the roads were? This person just appears. Everyone's kind of friendly back then, you know. They all start walking and talking, and they're kind of sad. Why are you downcast? And they're telling him, didn't you know what happened? And their eyes are, I mean, it was Jesus. When their eyes were open, they recognized who he was, right? So it was a supernatural thing that was happening. He didn't change his form. He just had covered their eyes. And a lot of times, we walk around with our eyes a little covered. And not, I think more out of ignorance, because we haven't spent enough time in the Word to know what all we have as daughters of the King. But in this place and time, he opened up their eyes, and then he vanishes. I thought that was pretty cool. Okay, the next verse. And they said to one another, and I love this, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, and while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Our hearts burning? Because sometimes, and I don't mean a literal burning like an acid reflux or anything, but you know, sometimes when you're reading the scripture or you're hearing a study or you're listening to the word, it's you sense that God's speaking to you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's that power that God's speaking to you from his word, because his word is active and alive and sharper than a two-edged sword. And he's speaking to us, and he's using us. So if we're saved, do you have the Holy Spirit? We do. In the Old Testament, at this time, right here, in this book, in the book of Luke, this isn't the New Testament, in the book of Luke, did they have the Holy Spirit yet?
No.
Because why? Jesus was still there. Even though he had probably in Abraham's bosom ministering there when he was dead. And it says that with his own power, it says that he had the ability, the power of the Holy Spirit to lay down and also to raise it up again. Did he do it?
Yes.
He did. He did do it. He had so much power, and this scripture really this scripture really, really stood out to me, and I want you guys to take a look at it with me. Get my little notes here. And now maybe I've read it before, maybe I haven't, but I'm reading it again tonight, and I want you guys to look at it with me. Luke 6:19. It's going to go back a couple chapters. 6:19. Okay. And it says, and all the multitude were trying to touch him, for power was coming from him and healing them all. Now, maybe I've read this verse before. Maybe you guys have read this verse before, but let's read it again. And all the multitude. Now, what's a multitude? How many people are we talking now? A bit, right? We're trying to touch him, for power was coming from him and healing them all. So you can only imagine, we've read this before, and I know you guys know where it's at in the Testament, but where the woman had the issue of blood, and she just had to go to Jesus, and she just touched the hem of his garment, and he felt the power go out of him. But here it says that the multitude was trying to touch him, just trying to get to him. His power was just flowing out of him and healing people. Can you imagine? So when we have the Holy Spirit, the possibility... Of course we're not perfect, and of course we're not Jesus. Of course power's not going to come out of us like that in any kind of way, but the Holy Spirit is within us now. And if you're saved, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. So you're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Power in your life, and it's a power that can attract others to God. It's like a magnet. It's God's supernatural magnet. And it's drawing other people to you that want to come to Jesus. Now, when you grieve the Holy Spirit, it's like if you've seen those two bags that come together and they click. If you grieve the Holy Spirit, it's not such a strong hold. Okay? When you operate in the Spirit and when you're in the Word and you're asking for forgiveness on a continual basis and you're filling your cup up, God is attracting. You know, and sometimes you even fail to realize it. He's attracting people to you for one purpose and one purpose alone. What would that purpose be? What? To glorify him. But what does he want to do in people's lives? Deva. It's for salvation. When the Holy Spirit is given, Jesus said, wait till you get power from on high. You see that in the book of Acts. Acts 1:8. Wait in Jerusalem. Wait till you know you're in that upper room. You waited for the power to come. Why was that so important? Because the Holy Spirit hadn't been given yet, right? When Jesus resurrected, how many days did he walk around revealing himself to people? How many? 40 days. 40 days he was on the earth. And it said that when Jesus resurrected, you guys have got to get into your Bible and read this. It said that other people resurrected too. It was so powerful that dead people came up from the grave. What if that was your sister, mother, brother? I mean, the power that he had when he resurrected himself and he walked around revealing himself, going in and out of places, poof, he was one place and poof, he vanished to another place. And he ate with people and he ministered to them and he said, wait, Holy Spirit, I'm going to send. He's coming. The promise of the Father. And so then he ascended up to heaven and they waited in that upper room. Holy Spirit came, and the Holy Spirit came in a very unique way. But you know what? The Holy Spirit still comes today. When you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes in you. And then there's a second work of the Holy Spirit, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, do you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to get to heaven? No. Do you have to be baptized in water to get to heaven?
No.
Because when Jesus was on the cross, there was the two thieves, right? And he's, you know, one kind of just rejected Jesus, but the other one said, hey, man, you know, remember me when you go to paradise. And Jesus said, yeah, you're there. You're going to be there with me. Okay, was he baptized?
No.
Okay, so we know that that's not a prerequisite. But in obedience to the scripture, was Jesus baptized?
Yes.
Yeah, by John the Baptist, right? Have you guys been baptized?
Yes.
Okay, so if you haven't been baptized, well, let's do it this way. If you have been baptized, raise your hand. Okay, great. Hands down. Okay. If you haven't been baptized, raise your hand. Okay. All right. So this is an encouragement to you as daughters of the King. King Jesus was baptized, and so we walk in that obedience, and so it's like, baptism is a celebration. You go back in the water, your old woman dies, and you come up a new creature. Just like what we watched tonight with the butterfly. You know, if we don't want to do the water baptism example, we can do the chrysalis was a person I knew a long time ago. That's that 50-year-old glitch. But when you put that, when the butterfly puts that hard shell around it, something happens inside there, and it gets all gooey and gooey, and then it comes out as a butterfly. Same kind of thing. That old person dead, and you're a new creature in Christ. And so that happens. You get saved. You come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You accept what He did. You have the Holy Spirit. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're on your way to heaven. And yet there's one more step, if you choose to take it, which is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so as you look through the book of Acts, and we'll do that tonight. We'll look through the book of Acts. And we'll look at a couple different scriptures where people who believed, they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet, but they believed, and the Holy Spirit was given to them. So why don't we go, just so we know, let's go to the very last chapter in Luke, and we'll read it together, because if you guys want to go back and check me out on anything, you should. So last chapter, 24, but it's verse 49, and behold, this is what Jesus says. If you have a red letter Bible, you see all Jesus' words in red. That's really cool, huh? And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And then it says, he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up and he blessed them. And it came about that while he was blessing them, he parted from them. That means that was the ascension when he went to heaven. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. So they actually saw the ascension happen. It was a group of them. He gave the command, wait, I'm sending the promise of my Father, and it's going to come upon you. Okay? So still, at that point, they did not have the Holy Spirit because Jesus had not been glorified. He was not up in heaven yet. Once he was up in heaven, Holy Spirit came, and go to the book of Acts. So let's turn to the first book of Acts. First chapter, 1:8. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And this is the key. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the earth. That was, I think for myself, when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, that was the thing that I saw the greatest difference in my life was wanting to be a witness, wanting to share with people, and looking for those opportunities to tell people about Jesus. And I know for myself that that's a very good barometer for me. You guys know what a barometer is? Mm-hmm. Or say even easier, your gas gauge, you know, empty, full, the gas in, goes up, you know? Okay, a good barometer of where you are with the Lord is that desire that you have to share Jesus with someone else. The prayers that you're praying for the salvation of people around you that you love, your family members, your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, even situations like the Harvest Crusade. I think that's one of the most awesome, you know, things about the Harvest Crusade is that it gets you thinking. And really, and I mentioned it before, at our service, every time you bring someone, you know that they're going to hear the gospel. So there should be a barometer that you have on your own heart of, you know what? Maybe I need to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, because can it happen more than once?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just like when you drink tea or you drink any drink. I mean, I drink this bottle of water. At some point, it's all gone. It's got to be filled up again, right? That's like the Holy Spirit. So if take, for example, this is your water. This is the Holy Spirit, and you sprinkle it out, and every time you share the gospel, you sprinkle a little bit. Every time you pray with someone, you sprinkle out a little bit. Sometimes, you know, someone calls you, and you have a good word for them, a word from the Lord for them, and you sprinkle that. At some point in time, this is empty, right? And you got to get it filled up again, and that is the best thing about a retreat. It's a time that we're setting aside for spiritual things. So first and foremost, the first and foremost spiritual thing that we would want to accomplish on any retreat would be what? Salvation, obviously. So there might be women here tonight that need to get saved. They've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins. They don't know about God's amazing power yet. But you have a little inclination of it because it says that the Holy Spirit woos us and draws us with those cords of loving kindness. So he loved you so much that he drew you up on this retreat so you could hear about accepting, first and foremost. Second of all would be a baptism. Now, we're not going to do baptism here. We have done that before in our retreats. But you know what? Next time that the church has a baptism, that would be the time for you to say, you know what? Hey, that's me. I'm going to do it in obedience. Third thing would be, you guys have the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, would be being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then all the powerful gifts that the Lord teaches us in 1 Corinthians come into play. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom. I guess we probably should turn there. Let's turn there. We'll read it together. 1 Corinthians. Let's go to chapter 14. It says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. And no one understands him, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, consolation. And one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Now I wish that all of you spoke in tongues. Oh my goodness. Who said that?
Paul.
Who? Paul. So if Paul said it, I can say it. So now I wish that you all spoke in tongues. And even more than you, that you would prophesy. Absolutely. Greater is the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be edified. Now, brethren, I come to you speaking in tongues. What shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by way of revelation or of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching? So God's desiring to give us all kinds of gifts. You can go back over... What's the greatest gift?
Love.
So love should definitely be a power that is radiating through us to others, right? If you thought of love as a flower, what would it smell like or look like to you? A gardenia? Okay. Fragrant, white, beautiful, soft, white petal. What else? A rose? Okay. What else? Anything else? A sweet pea? Okay. If love were a flower, what would it smell like? Jasmine? I mean, I'm sure right now that most of you have sprayed some kind of flower on you and you just don't even know it. Because all perfumes, all scents have something botanical in them, right? We're supposed to be the fragrance of Christ, that love is supposed to be out there. How do we express that? We express that by the Holy Spirit. He gives us creative ways to draw people unto him. The ones that feel led of the Lord, what is a way that you have been a fragrance and used by the power of the Holy Spirit working through you to draw somebody to the Lord? In this last, say since Christmas. Becky.
Just being available.
Being available to the person. Being available to someone that you're working on, okay?
A personal testimony your personal greatness that you have and that you embrace that.
Okay, so your personal testimony. You know what? I would challenge all of you ladies to be able to give your personal testimony in 2 minutes or less. That would be something that you could practice, that you could write it down and practice. You should be able to share your testimony in 2 minutes or less, so that if you're on a bus, if you're in line, if you're at the bank, if you're getting your hair done, if you are at your school, and you find that God's given you 2 minutes with someone, you can share your testimony. That's a fragrance. You can leave that fragrance. Elvia?
Mine is a fragrance of food. Working in the homeless ministry, feeding people.
Absolutely.
Doing something that I truly enjoy.
Absolutely. So in our service, God gives us power creative power, because it's usually talents and abilities that we have. Some of us are awesome cooks. Some of us, we wouldn't want you cooking. You can clean the kitchen when we were done, you know, but we wouldn't want you to cook. So everybody's got those giftings, those talents, those abilities. I want to hear from you ladies, what gifts do you think they have from the Holy Spirit? That you know, this is a gift, and I operate, maybe not on a daily basis, but I operate on a weekly basis with the power of the Holy Spirit in me in a particular gift. Noah?
The gift of giving?
The gift of giving. And I will testify to that. Yes, you do have that gift. And I have benefited from that many a time. But that is a gift. Giving is a gift. You know what I would like you to do? Can you look in the New Testament and find me where it says that the gift of giving is a gift? 1 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians? That's a hint. Okay, someone else. Operating by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mercy?
The gift of encouragement?
Yes, absolutely. The gift of encouragement. And encouragement can be through our words. Encouragement can also be by writing a card and sending that to someone that encourages them. Is it mostly with your words that you use that gift? How many of you in your mind can think of someone that when you talk to them, they are a source of encouragement? They're like a Barnabas. Can you think of that person? Can you think of that person? I'd like to be that person. Forgiveness? The gift of forgiveness? Okay, how do you operate in that? Not holding a grudge when someone wrongs you? I will say that is probably one of the most obvious ways, not just with your mouth, but with your actions. Forgiveness is very, very, very powerful. Okay. Hospitality. For women, that is definitely a gift that even if you say, oh, I'm not really hospitable, you should have some degree of hospitality that you can offer. We don't have to have the finest or the best, and sometimes I think that limits us. Well, I don't really want anyone to come to my house, you know, the dog's chewed up all day, you know. And a lot of those issues are just kind of prideful issues. Hospitality, it doesn't matter if the Bible says if you give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, he's going to reward you. So as a woman, your home, or if you're renting a room, your bedroom, or your living space, or wherever that's at, that you would be able to invite someone over. It doesn't have to be a large group of people, but you can exercise and you can kind of hone the gift of hospitality. That's a powerful gift. Someone else? Heather? Humor? Okay. Absolutely. And the proverb said that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. So having an encouraging, humorous... Everybody likes to have at least one friend that's funny, right? My husband is so funny. He just cracks me up. And I just, you know, even if I've heard it two or three times, he still cracks me up. I love the way he tells a story. So, you know, that's a good gift. Okay, someone else? Rachel? Wonderful. I don't know if you guys were able to hear that, but that the Lord gives her kind of visions for hand signs that she can teach the children when they're worshiping. So, like God's not dead, he is alive, or power, or those kinds of things, like he gives you those hand signs. Okay. Do you think that you could come up here and you could teach us one?
I know, I'm kind of God.
Okay, come up here, Rachel. Come. I want you to use your gift tonight, and you can teach us the hand sign. Those things are powerful. How many of you remember deep and God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing like my God cannot do. The mountains are His, the valleys are His, the stars are His too. My God is so great, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do
for you.
Do we remember those? Those are the songs you want to sing when you can't go to sleep. Don't count sheep. Don't get crazy. Just start singing those little worship songs. Little worship songs that get you through. Powerful. Well, I need some other gifts, some other talents and abilities. Okay. How do you discern spirits? And the Lord's giving you that discernment? Okay. So the discerning of spirits, that's powerful. We need that, definitely need that in the body of Christ.
One that's not favorably prayed about is patience.
You don't quite, do you operate with patience? Is that kind of, I can't say that about myself, but I'm not
sure you do.
The gift of helps. Can you find where that's at in the scripture for me, please? Okay, someone else. Christian. Love and affection. Do we all need a good hug? Okay, so now can I have you guys go out of your comfort zone tonight? To the person to the right or to the left and give them a hug. Now I know for some of you that are huggers by nature, those of you that are huggers by nature, that's easy for you to do. For some of you that's really, really hard. So I appreciate you doing that. Now one thing I'll tell you, be careful as a woman when you hug your brothers in Christ. You may be hugging someone's husband and they're watching you. I usually go like this, and I hug that way just because I don't want my chest to touch anybody else. I'm just going, or sometimes I do that, or, Just so you just be careful. Be cautious, right? If you want to hug your sister chest to chest, go for it. But men, let's be careful, right? Let's use wisdom. I don't want to stumble anybody. Okay, anybody else's gift? I think it was a Pat. Did you ever have a Pat? I missed you.
Oh, yeah. I am not, and I think
most of the time. Okay. Kind of just that gift of evangelism, that we should be able to say Jesus loves you to someone, to speak the name of Jesus. And I'm sure all of you, how many of you do email? Okay, majority of email. Do you know that on your email that you can put a scripture? And then you can put some positive thing? I mean, I know I have a business thing, and I put something on my, I thank God for your business. And I've actually gotten business because they see God and they know I'm a Christian. But some of you, I get some great things from some of you. You have your scripture on there, or it's just one tiny little way to like share and be bold that way.
Question: yeah, you can put the website of your church. And it's a good witnessing tool, and they see that under your.
Oh, okay. So website of your church, so that they could go to click on that, or they could. Charity? Okay. And tell me how you operate with charity.
Words of wisdom.
Okay, so how do you operate with words of wisdom?
A lot of times when you're praying with somebody and you don't really know what it is they want prayed for, but later they tell you, that was exactly what I was asking for. Okay. You have no idea, but God.
So a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge when you're talking with someone and they pray for you and you lay your hand on them and you pray for them and you pray something and it's exactly what they were talking about. That's the Lord using you with that gift. Okay? Yes, Jennifer?
Just praying for people. people's souls, even if they don't know that you're praying for them, just keep them responsible.
Okay, being continually in prayer. Okay, excellent. So you're a prayer warrior. Okay, intercessor. Put you down on my list. I'm clicking you in here. Okay. Yes, yes.
You get to dance. Absolutely, absolutely.
That everything we do, any talent, gift, and ability that God's given you, I had a couple of you look your gifts up over there. Helps. Did you find it? Okay, stand up and read it.
The first verse is Psalm 28. As God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues.
Okay, excellent. Helps, isn't there? How about those of you that have the gift of organization? Can you raise your hand if you have that gift? Gift of organization? People around you that know if you're telling the truth or not. If you have the gift of organization, it just comes natural. And you can get things done and you can organize things. And it's I know Sandy's got that gift of organization. And it's an awesome gift when it's energized by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let me ask you this. What about natural giftings? What would you say about a natural gifting? A natural gifting would be God in His sovereignty is given natural God-given ability. Because God is the creator of all human life. So I don't care what state you're born in or what country you're born in. God is the author of all life. And God says that He made the just and the unjust, and He gives gifts to everybody. So you could not know Jesus, and you could have an actual talent, an ability to do whatever it is that you do. It's been given to you by God. At some point in time, every single person goes before the Lord. The Christians don't go to the white throne judgment. We're going to be judged on our good works. But the unbelievers, God's going to say, I gave you a gift. Maybe He gave you 2 or 3 or 5 or 10. You've got to be accountable for those gifts. So you see, I think in our culture, most what you see is musicians. Musicians that are using God-given talent for themselves and not for the Lord. Now, can you use it for yourself? Sure. But people need to use those things for the Lord as well, because He's the one that's given them those gifts and talents. What about the one little gal this year who was given a God-given talent? What was her name? Susan Boyle? Is that her name? That sang on American Idol. And she came out, she was kind of a little frumpy and kind of came out, kind of goofy, and they were going to actually make fun of her. It's like, so, it was like, not right. And then all of a sudden, she belts out this song. Nobody could believe. Never taken a lesson, just sang in her church choir and belted out the song. And, I mean, that's God-given. That's God-given. There's things that we can train for. We can go to school and we can learn things. You know, you can learn how to play the piano, but then there's people that are, like, gifted. Right? I'm trying to learn how to play the ukulele. I am not gifted. but I bought it, and I'm trying, and I want to sing songs to Jesus, and, you know, I just couldn't get my hand around a big guitar, and so I thought, I'm just going to go with the ukulele. I like the way that sounds, okay? But you know what? So you can learn new things, but there's gifts, talents, and abilities that God's given you, and when it's energized by the power of the Holy Spirit, it becomes on fire, supernatural element for you to do things for the Lord with those gifts and talents and abilities that He's given you. Amen?
Amen.
So why don't we all turn to our Bible so we can read about every gift, so we're all on the same page, to 1 Corinthians 12. We'll read them together. Verse 1 says, 1 Corinthians 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, that you were led astray by the dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, make known to you that No one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. And to another, the word of knowledge according to that same Spirit. To another, faith by that same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. And to another, the effecting of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, distinguishing of spirits. To another, various of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of those tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. So there is an opportunity that you guys have to operate in coveting the best gift for the situation. If you need to be healed, the best gift for the situation would probably not be what? Helps. Maybe it would. Maybe you need to be healed and somebody needs to come and help you. But do you see what I'm saying? You want the correlation, right, gift to use in that situation. If someone is nervous, maybe you need to have the faith to believe on their behalf. Have you ever believed for a good thing on behalf of someone else because they just couldn't do it? They were so down in the dumps, and you say, I believe in you. I believe that God has a good work, and you speak that good work to them, that good work over them. That can be powerful. Has that ever happened to any of you? Where someone's come along and just, spoken that word. You needed that word. And it came. It was powerful. So it's the same Spirit working in all kinds of different ways. And that Spirit, God's power. And He wants it for everybody. Again, if you're not saved, you don't have the Holy Spirit. If you are saved, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's like the deposit. God's giving you a deposit. Just put the Holy Spirit in you. Put Himself in you. That deposit. It's going to get you. You're going to be His. You're going to stick with Him like that magnet, you and Jesus together. And you're going to make it all the way to heaven. But the opportunity, and it's a choice for you to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I wanted to offer everybody tonight. Because we talk about power. There's songs we sing about the power. And it's like, how do you operate in the power? You can't even operate unless you've asked for the Holy Spirit, that baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you have been baptized, maybe you need to be refilled, just like we were talking about this water, the refilling of the Holy Spirit. It's not spooky. It's not, we don't have to dim the lights. We don't, I know people love afterglows, and we'll sing some song and worship and have that later, but I want to make sure that we're all clear that first and foremost, the reason that people came on the retreat, that the Lord would draw you up here, show you that He loves you, that He died for your sins, that He wants you to be saved, that He wants you to remember Him with communion. Then He wants you to be baptized in His Holy Spirit so that you can operate in the gifts that are going to make your life and make your effectiveness in the ministry that much greater because you're operating in His power. You're energized by Him. So let me just take a show of hands. How many of you have prayed before to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Awesome. Okay. So those that raise your hand, one hand up, that you've already prayed that prayer before. Now the other hand is if you do not need to be refilled. Okay. I'm operating in the Spirit right now. I don't need to be filled. But if you need to be filled, only have one hand up. Okay? So if you need to be refilled again, just one hand. If you're operating in the Holy Spirit right now, you see what I'm saying? Okay, so two hand if you're operating right now. Okay, because for people that have two hands up, you need to be praying. Okay, so you have the ability tonight. The ones with two hands up, let me see them, hands up. You guys are the prayer warriors to pray for the ones that have one hand up or don't have any hand up. Because if you don't have a hand up, that means that you haven't even asked the Holy Spirit. So that would be walking in obedience, just like I'm going to get those ones. We're going to give you guys the opportunity to be baptized because that's walking in obedience. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit is just another facet to your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And we're going to look in the book of Acts and we're going to see when it happened, what it looked like. Okay? Okay, so let's turn back to the book of Acts together. And we'll go to Acts chapter 10. And we'll start at verse 44. Acts 10, 44. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. Oh, isn't it awesome to see that? And all the circumcised believers, who are the circumcised believers? The Jews, right? The Jews that had accepted Jesus, they were circumcised already when they were Jewish, who had come with Peter were, what were they? Mine says amazed. Amazed. That's our word, amazed, astonished. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon who? The Gentiles. So it wasn't, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, it wasn't just for the circumcised Jews. It was for everybody. For the grafted in branch, the Gentiles. It's for us. They were amazed. The Holy Spirit fell. Okay, go to chapter 19. Same book. Over a couple pages. Let's read 1 to 7. It says, and it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found some disciples. I thought how interesting that was, that he's just traveling to Ephesus, he's up in the upper country, and he finds a few, like, little disciples that maybe, you know, kind of out in the boonies, out in the rural area. They weren't, you know, close to Jerusalem. They didn't know the things that were happening on here, but Paul finds them. He says to them, hey, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And he said to him, no. We haven't even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, and so what were you baptized? And they said, well, to John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, and that is in Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. And in all, there were about 12 men. So in this instance, Holy Spirit's given, and they begin to speak in tongues and prophesy. So tonight, we're going to lay hands on you, and some of you may prophesy. Some of you may speak in tongues. That's according to the scripture. So we don't know how that's going to happen. But you know what? I know that all of us are going to be amazed. Just like the circumcised Jew were amazed when the Holy Spirit fell. It's amazing to see the Holy Spirit fall. And to have the privilege to pray. Just like it's a privilege to pray for someone to accept the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, it's just as great a privilege to see someone baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because that opens a whole new world, a whole new dynamic. That dynamo power from on high, to live this life that we have. Is this life tough? Is it tough sometimes to get through your day, through your week, through your month? Emotionally, financially, relationally, whatever's going on. You know what? We need the power of God. Okay? We don't just walk around with the helmet of salvation. We want everything that God has for us. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, but there is no shadow of truth. God is good. He wants to bless. He wants to bless. So first and foremost, we need to find out, is everybody saved? Because that would be the first thing we need to do. So, if you're saved, how can we do this? Why don't we all stand up? Everybody stands up together. I'm standing. And if you would love to, because I know the Lord Jesus Christ has been calling out to you by the power of His Holy Spirit, God's amazing power. If you do not know the Lord Jesus and you would like to be saved, we would like to pray for you. So if you don't know the Lord, go ahead and sit down in your chair, lay hands on you and pray for you. So is there anyone sitting down that we can pray for tonight? Or is every single person saved? I'm not sure. Anybody that needs to be saved? Okay. All right, great. So let's all pray together for the salvation that we have that's going to be taking place right here in the back. Let's lay hands on her and pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you have brought this sister up, that she's on a retreat. God, you love her so much. You died on the cross for her personal sins. You want her tonight, Lord, to come into that personal, one-on-one, intimate relationship with you. And I know, Lord God, as she cries out and she asks for forgiveness, says that you are faithful and just and you will forgive. and that you will bring her into your eternal kingdom, Lord God, tonight, this night, that she will never forget this night for the rest of her life. February 19, 2011, she accepted you as her personal Savior. We glorify you for that good work, Lord God, that you accomplished on the cross, enabling her by the power of the Holy Spirit to be saved tonight. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.